Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
Praise the Lord. Well, it is quite the day and age in which we're living. Of course, today is Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to bring you up to speed on what's happening next Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter, and we will be keeping our physical distance, but we will be joining together on the parking lot Easter Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. So you can drive here, be here. We've got the parking lot crew all set up. We've got a semi-trailer that I'll be able to stand on so you all can see me. We're going to have all kinds of wonderful things. There's going to be live praise and worship, and we're going to broadcast it via the radio, the audio of it, right to your car stereo, which is going to be super neat. So you'll just pull on the lot, you'll get the directions on what station to tune into, and you'll be able to watch myself and the team minister on the back of a flatbed truck on the parking lot right here at 2423 South MacArthur Boulevard. You say, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to get out. I'm still a little bit concerned. Listen, we totally get that. And that's why we're going to take the television cameras out onto the parking lot as well, so that if you want to stay in the safety and security of your home, you can still do that. But you'll be watching me on the back of a semi-trailer instead of in here in the sanctuary. So next week is Easter Sunday, 10 o'clock, nothing different. You can log on like you just did this morning on any of our devices, whether it's the website, Facebook Live, Roku, YouTube.com, or any of those things, and you'll be popped right into the service live at 10 o'clock. But if you want to come out, I'd love to see you on the parking lot, in your car. Of course, you're going to stay in your car, and you're going to tune us in on the radio, and we'll be able to see you. You'll be able to see us, and it'll be just a great time of ministry. Take a minute right now. Share this with your friends and family. Just scroll down to the bottom. Hit the share button, and we're going to talk about Palm Sunday here this morning, but let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you are on the throne, and that on that day when you came into Jerusalem, it was a beginning of a very tragic week for you. And so this morning, as we remember what Palm Sunday was and what it is, I ask that you would quicken our minds, that you would help us to put ourselves in the sandals of those people that day. And Lord, make that applicable to our hearts and our lives, where we live, where we work, our homes and our lives right here and now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining in. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them out. We're going to be talking about the Palm Sunday scripture, which is going to be found in Matthew. We're going to talk about that in a second. But if you're unfamiliar with what happened on Palm Sunday, of course, this is Jesus making his way into Jerusalem. And there is the Mount of Olives, and just on the backside of the Mount of Olives is a little town called Bethpage. And if you stand where Jesus was betrayed on Good Friday night, you can look down and see this little community. That's where Jesus was, and he told a couple of disciples, he said, go get the donkey, the baby of the donkey, the colt, the foal, and bring that here. If anybody asks what you're doing, just say, hey, the master needs it. He'll take care of it. He'll return it, no problem. So the disciples went and got the donkey. They brought it to Jesus. And now you have to envision yourself on kind of this hill. Jesus is there. His disciples are gathered around. And they put their coats, they take their cloaks, and they lay them over the donkey. And then they begin to put their coats and palm leaves, like these, palm fronds, on the road in front of him. And they begin to shout, Hosanna. And he moves from where he will be betrayed on the Mount of Olives, Bethpage, and he moves down through the valley and comes up the other side, comes through the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. And the whole city is a bustle, not necessarily because he's coming. The city is all in a frenzy because it's one of the high celebratory times in the Jewish faith. It's the season of Passover, where the Jewish people were reminded of their deliverance out of Pharaoh's Egypt by the blood of a lamb that was put on the doorposts of their home. And so the death angel passed over them, and that's why it's called Passover. And the children of Egypt, the children of Israel, rather, were liberated. And you know the story of how they crossed through the Red Sea. And that was a beautiful time. But that is what's being remembered during the season of Passover. So people from all over the countryside are cramming in to this very small little town, Old Jerusalem. And Jesus comes in as well. And I want to share with you just a few things. First of all, that moment had a precedence. If you recall, in the story that I just read you, they threw down their coats and the palm leaves, and they shouted Hosanna. If we have the text here for you to look in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, it says, they hurried and they took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps, and they blew the trumpet and shouted, Yehu is king. This is at the coronation of Yehu. And so there was this in the cultural mindset of the Jewish people, that this is a way that you honored a king. And then, of course, it was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Excuse me here. I need to mute all of the mobile devices that are beginning to text, and I'm getting messages from you and everybody else. So please keep texting. There's people in the chat room right now, and they want to say hello to you. But the prophecy was in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is an Old Testament prophecy that Jesus is about to fulfill on Palm Sunday. So here's the event. Let me just quickly read it to you out of Matthew 21, beginning at verse number 1. So as they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what the prophet had spoken. This is what I just read to you out of Zechariah. See the daughter of Zion. See the king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, Hosanna, which means save us, save us. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse number 10. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem. The whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Then he goes on to cleanse the temple, and the rest of the Passion Week unfolds. I believe what the Lord would want us to know this morning is going to be very brief. It's going to be very concise, because in difficult days, in tumultuous times, in those days when things are tough and it's hard and it's an emergency, maybe even a state of emergency, you don't need a lot of words, and you don't need big words. You need clear, concise direction. As if a ship was going down. You don't want the captain to break into an hour-long speech about how to get off the boat. You need clear, concise directions. In emergencies, we don't need lengthy, long-winded instructions. What we need is simple, straight-to-the-point information. So that's what I'm going to give you this morning very quickly. And I want to show you in this text today that there are four types of Palm Sunday people. The first is those who were very uninterested in what was happening. Well, what do you mean? This is Palm Sunday. This is what we're all here celebrating. No, listen to what I just told you. Passover was happening. The city was crowded. And I'll guarantee you that not the entire city came to this Jesus parade. There were those people that were uninterested. Write that one down. In fact, if you have Matthew chapter 20 open, where the story is, or 21, chapter 21, I want you to write these four types of people down. The first is those who are uninterested. They had other places to be that day. They had to get to the market. I can't stop and hang out at this parade. I got to go home and feed my animals. I got to pump some fresh water. I got to get to the grocery store, get to the market. I got to get home. I got to feed the kids. I got to get them down for a nap. I got to do the chores. I got to collect some firewood. And if I'm a good Jew, I'm going to be doing my prayers in the middle of all this. I got lots of stuff to do. I'm not going to take the time to hang out at whatever's going on over there. I am thoroughly uninterested, which means I'm unfazed. I'm unaffected by this parade type commotion at the city gate. The first type of people that were there were totally uninterested. There were another type of people that were there that day, and those are the naysayers. Secondly, the naysayers. Who are these people? These are the people that had already heard about Jesus. Oh, yeah. Jesus? Oh, yeah. I know. They come. Those types of guys, they come and go. I got stuff to do. I'm a cynic. I'm a skeptic. I'm a naysayer. Why would I be that? Well, perhaps I know. If I'm wearing my first century clothes and I'm in this moment, not too long ago, a prophet who was talking about this Jesus, he ended up getting his head cut off by Herod Antipas, remember? Delivered on a silver platter. John the Baptist's head was cut off. So these guys, they come, they go, they're a flash in the pan. I'm a naysayer. They had heard about the miracles, but you know, they played the devil's advocate. And can I just tell you for a second, just stop here for a second. If you ever say that phrase, I'm just going to have to slap you. Because the devil has enough advocates. He doesn't need another one. Stop playing the devil's advocate. I hate that phrase. Okay? You are an advocate of the Holy Spirit. You're an advocate of heaven. The devil doesn't need another advocate. So stop being so negative. Okay, back to what I was talking about. They had tons of reasons, though, to be the naysayer. I mean, they had science. What do you mean they had science? 2,000 years. Well, come on. Let's say you're one of the first century Jews walking around the city of Jerusalem, and here comes Jesus. Oh, what are you talking about? Come on. Who can walk on water? Really? This dude fed 5,000 people with a few fish and loaves? I doubt it. I'm the devil's advocate. I'm the naysayer. I'm the cynic. I'm the doubter. Those people were there that day. Come on. Virgin birth. What are you telling me? Raising people from the dead. That's a bunch of hogwash. Emmanuel? God with us? Yeah, right. Sure. And they went on with their day. I'm telling you, not everyone was there yelling Hosanna. Not everyone was shouting, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Not everyone was putting their cloak down in front of him. Not everyone was waving their palm branch saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. There were those that were way too busy. And then there were these. Besides the uninterested, the naysayer. Thirdly, there were those people that were there who were misguided. And I'm going to tell you about these people. They had heard that Jesus was coming. They had heard through the grapevine. And so they anticipated this arrival. Perhaps even prepared for his arrival. And when Jesus showed up, what did they do? What did these misguided people do? Well, they decided to move closer. They leaned in to the parade. These people were actually involved in the procession. And they waved their palm branches too. The misguided waved their palm branches. The misguided were actually involved in the parade. And they shouted, Hosanna. They had heard about this new king who would sit on the throne of David. And he was supposedly going to kick these Romans out. Who was he? Was he a prophet? Was he a good teacher? I'm going to tell you this. They didn't care so much who he was, but rather what he would do. Listen to me. The people that were there and totally misguided, they actually didn't care who he was. They just wanted him to kick the Romans out. They were interested in what he was going to do. They didn't care who he was. He would give them what they were asking for. He would establish finally, once and for all, the Jewish kingdom right there, an earthly kingdom right in Jerusalem. And he would give them back their land, and he would give them back their rights and their money. Misguided. Oh, were they misguided. The uninterested didn't care. The naysayer and the cynic scoffed. The misguided, they participated, but for the wrong reasons. But then the fourth category of people on that day were true believers. A very small percentage of the number of people in that city that day. These people actually believed that Jesus was who he says he was. They believed he was the Messiah. Now you have to understand the word Messiah. Messiah is a Hebrew word, and that word means Christ in Greek. So those words are the same words. Messiah and Christ are the same words. So whenever you see those words in Scripture, if you see Messiah, it can just as well say Christ. If it says Christ, it can just as well mean Messiah. And what those mean, what those words mean is the anointed one. And there were three categories of people that were anointed in the Bible: prophets, priests, and kings. That's who got anointed. Prophets got anointed, priests got anointed, kings got anointed. I don't have time to unpack that study for you, but check it out yourself. And Jesus was the prophet of prophets, the priest of priests, and the king of kings. He had the threefold ministry of Jesus: prophet, priest, and king. And he was the anointed, the Messiah, the one who the Jews were looking for. They were earnestly looking for the Messiah. And in Greek, it would be Christ. So knowing that, these people who honestly believed, who were at Palm Sunday, the ones who were not misguided, the ones who were totally involved and believed, three examples quickly. Number one, Andrew. In John chapter 1, verse 41, it says, the first thing Andrew did after he found the Lord, he found his brother Simon, who we know as Peter. He found Simon to tell him, he says, we have found the what? The Messiah. I found him. I found the Messiah. This is Andrew at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Even before his brother Peter says that Jesus is the Christ, Andrew says, I found him. I found the Messiah. Mary and Martha, you know the story where Lazarus died and was in the tomb. Mary and Martha, in their story in John chapter 11, verse 24 and following, says, Martha answered, I know, she's talking to Jesus. She says, I know he will rise again at the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Believest thou this? King James. Verse 27, she says, yes, Lord, she told him, quote, I believe that you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the one. You're the Son of God who has come into the world. So we got Andrew. We got Mary. We've got Martha. Again, this is not the full crowd, although there were the misguided folks in the crowd. They were waving their palm branches. They were shouting Hosanna, but they were doing it for the wrong reasons. But in the midst of that, there was a kernel. There were true believers like Andrew, like Mary and Martha, who lived in Bethpage. And of course, Peter. The most famous passage is in Matthew chapter verse 16. In chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, which is up north of the Sea of Galilee, the furthest that Jesus was ever in ministry, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man, who do people say that I am? Verse 14, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But who do you say, he asked, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter, who of course was Andrew's brother way back in the day on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, Peter pipes up in verse number 16 and answered, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are now Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. On what rock? Not of course on Peter, but on the confession that Peter just made, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. On that I will build my church. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will also be loosed in heaven. There you go. True believers. First of all, you had the uninterested. They didn't care. They were just going about their normal business. Secondly, the naysayers, they had heard enough about Jesus and applied some common sense and perhaps some logic and some rudimentary science, said, nah, I can't, no, I'm a skeptic. I don't believe it. Not even going to be there. But those who gathered on that day that did pay attention, third category, there was the misguided, and number four, the true believers. And this is what I want to tell you. Those four categories of people on that day, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, those four types of people are alive and well today. These are the types of people that encounter Jesus. In fact, I'll be so bold as to tell you that you fall into one of these four categories. Everyone within the sound of my voice, everyone watching this live stream, everyone listening to this podcast, everyone driving down the road, everyone listening, whether it's over the radio, whether it's a television program, everyone right now, stop for a moment. You are in one of these four categories. You are either uninterested, you are a naysayer, you're misguided, or you're a believer. And I'm going to tell you about those. First of all, the uninterested. If you're listening today and you're the uninterested, it's probably because somebody shoved this into your hand, or your wife or your husband, and you really don't want to, you don't care less. Why? Because Sunday to you is like any other of the 6 days of the week. For you, the uninterested, it's the day to sleep in. It's the day to cut your grass, head to the lake, work around the house, hang out with your friends, do your hobby. As long as they don't close the grocery stores and the liquor stores, I don't care if they ever close the church, because I don't care. I'm uninterested. I could care less about God. I could care less about Jesus. I could care less about the church. Sunday is the day I walk the dog, I head to the park, I get some groceries, watch some TV. Totally, completely unfazed by the commotion of what today is. Palm Sunday. You could care less. If that's you, you're probably not even listening. But there's another category, and those are the naysayers. You might be a naysayer. Now, you heard about the Jesus thing. You've checked out some other religions. You've heard about his miracles. But you play the devil's advocate. Well, there's tons of reasons why not to believe in Jesus. I mean, do you not believe in science? What about the facts? See, you're a skeptic. Are you kidding me? Walking on water, feeding 5,000, raising from the dead. I'm calling you a cynic. I'm calling you a skeptic. I'm not saying it's wrong to have questions. But if you have just written off Jesus because you're cynical and you're a skeptic, I'm asking you today to reconsider. Emmanuel, God with us? Yeah, right. He's a myth. He's a fable. And they say, you're weak because you believe in Jesus. You're weak because you're a Christian. These people are generally atheists, when in fact, I don't really believe there are atheists. I think most people are some level of agnostic if they don't believe in Jesus. That could be you. And you just stumbled across this morning's message. And I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Listen, Jesus calls us believers. I'm challenging you to once again reevaluate where you're putting your faith. Put it in Jesus. But that's only one of the four categories. Number one is the uninterested. Number two, the naysayers. But number three, this is getting closer to home now. You have those who are misguided. Who are these people? Remember, they were the ones who were still in the crowd. These are the people that still come to church. These misguided people still come to church. They still hang around Jesus, celebrating who he is on Christmas or Easter or Palm Sunday, or maybe even a little more regular than that. They anticipate his return, his second coming, even prepare for his arrival. They are involved in the Sunday procession, just like it was 2,000 years ago. The misguided were still there, but what was their issue? Their issue was they weren't believing Jesus for who he was. They were believing for Jesus for what he could do for them. Get me a new job, Jesus. Bring me prosperity. Heal my body. Heal my marriage. Give me spiritual gifts. I'm praying for a spouse, God. I really want a baby, Jesus. Give me a new job. Give me some sort of miracle. Give me, give me, give me. And just like those misguided people 2,000 years ago, they wanted Jesus to do something that he wasn't going to do, which was establish some sort of earthly kingdom. His purposes were much higher than that. And so we have people even in the church today, the church, the body of Christ today, who are totally misguided, who come to church on Sunday morning. They may even wave their palm branches and shout Hosanna like they did 2,000 years ago, but just as much misguided as they were then, they are today, because they're looking for the wrong thing. They want some sort of earthly kingdom. I want this. I want that. Give me a baby. Give me a job. Give me a husband. Give me a wife. Give me, the, give me, give me, give me, give me, instead of what he can do, but for who he is. Wrong motives. But then the fourth category is the remnant. Isaiah talks about it. The few, the very few, those who have counted the cost, those who are willing to walk the narrow road, those who are willing to suffer persecution, those who are willing to take up their cross and deny themselves. Listen, I didn't talk anything about getting you a new job or getting you more money or a new suit of clothes or a new car or a spouse or a baby or anything else. Why do you shout Hosanna? Why do you come to the procession on Palm Sunday? Are you misguided or are you a true believer? Those who will deny themselves, who actually count it, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of different kinds. So James tells us we are. Those people who will stand up, who will stand out, who will speak up for Jesus and be unashamed of Jesus and the gospel. Those are true believers. That's the category that I ask you to consider joining today. Oh, it's a small crowd. It's a small crowd. And I'll just tell you this, that the church today, right now, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this state of emergency that we're in, this is allowing the church either for you, I'm talking about you because you are the church, either to get stronger, pray more, seek his face more, get involved, whether it's live streaming in services, fellowshipping, reaching out, being the salt and light in your community, helping the widow across the street. It's allowing the church to be more the church, or those people who were misguided and part of the church, but only wanting to be part of the church for what they could get out of Jesus. This is their golden opportunity to disappear, to go into the shadows, to just kind of fade away. And I hope that's not you. This is the church's finest hour. It's time for us to be who God's called us to be, to stand up, to be unashamed, to say, you know what? The church is just as essential as the liquor store or the grocery store. Can I get an amen? Yes. Andrew said, remember, the first thing he did, he went and said to his brother, we have found the Messiah. Who's the Messiah? The anointed one. Anointed for a purpose. Anointed for a purpose. Yes, prophet, priest, and king. But the purpose was to die. He was anointed to die for you. So the singular question, the pointed and straightforward query is this. Remember, times of emergency need clear, concise messages. And this is messages for you. You are in one of these four categories. You're either uninterested today, which I pray that you are not. You're a naysayer. You're the devil's advocate, a cynic. And you just click your tongue against the roof of your mouth whenever you hear about Christian things. And you are unaffected by the things of Jesus. Thirdly, you might be misguided. I'm here to show you who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you've ever been on a tour, I've been on a number of tours in my life, and you have a guide, and the guide takes you from point A to point B. Imagine if you were misguided. that this person who said, here, I'm going to show you the way, and they didn't know the way. I'm telling you, I know the way, but even I will stumble and fall. So let me point you to one who says of himself, I am the way. You want to know the way? Just follow Jesus. Don't follow a man. Don't follow a church. Don't follow a denomination. Follow Jesus. He said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Or you're already a true believer, and you're finding yourself in a place of strength. This whole emergency thing doesn't scare you. Online prayer meetings and Zoom children's church and parking lot church on a Sunday morning, that doesn't scare you at all, because you've realized the church isn't a building. You've realized that we are the church. And here behind these cameras, I'm looking at the staff. I see Jeremy, Aaron, I see Ariel, Joey, Miles, Sydney, Hannah, spread out across the auditorium so I have someone to preach to this morning. I'm so proud of this staff being here today, unafraid, to minister to you. And so I'm going to ask Aaron to come and close us out in prayer. He's going to challenge you. He's going to give you an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus this morning. And then he's going to make a couple of announcements afterwards. So if you're finding yourself in one of these categories, listen to what Aaron has to say.
Thank you, Eric, for that message. Well, if you're watching, maybe on your TV or your phone, and as Easter has been coming, it doesn't feel like normal Easter. The stores aren't packed with candy being purchased, and the Easter egg hunts are being canceled between different churches and organizations and schools. It just doesn't feel normal. Maybe your life feels that way too. Maybe you've been laid off. Maybe you're in a tough situation and life does not feel normal. But guess what? It's not supposed to be normal. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it becomes supernatural. Well, what does that mean? That means things are done differently. That means your eyes are open to helping people and loving people. And if you don't find yourself in that space, I want to challenge you to maybe just check your heart for a second this morning. So as you're watching this live stream, just kind of evaluate where your heart has been. Are you loving people during this time? Are you lonely right now? Our kids, every night we challenge them. They might say that they're scared, and we say, who lives in your heart? And they say, well, Jesus lives in my heart. And that gives them all the confidence that they need to sleep well, to have peace in their heart. And peace is exactly what we need in this season right now. So if you're in your living room or you're watching, wherever you are, I just want you to close your eyes right now. And if you're not sure whether or not you should pray a prayer of salvation, I want to challenge you that it doesn't hurt. It never hurts to have communication with God. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I pray that you would pray after me. And this is for me and myself. Every day I want to make sure that I'm right with God, because I make mistakes, I mess up, and hopefully you're just like me. You say, Aaron, you know, I mess up too, but there is hope. So let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you give us a plan and a purpose, Lord. And this morning we set our hearts pointed towards you. We invite you into our hearts. So right now, just repeat after me, Jesus, I love you. Thank you that you love me enough to die on a cross. I invite you into my heart. Be my Savior. Lord, clean my heart and make it white as snow. From this day forward, I place my trust in you. You are my rock, my shield, and my sword. And I always want to make sure that I am in relationship with you. I accept you into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.